At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to our continuing coverage. It's our 6th and final segment of the day of our coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Let's go to the courtroom right now.
Ready for the jury?
Your Honor, one matter I'd like to address with the court. During and throughout the questioning that the defense has been doing, and including one question that was asked here today about any reason why Alec may kill anyone. One of the issues that's still outstanding is issues of the financial motives that exist. And obviously the state has already made a case as to the admissibility of that information, but I believe clearly to add to that, the defense through their questioning has opened the door to that. And so this witness has some information to start that, and I think that we've gone through the looking glass on that very issue, Your Honor.
Your Honor, very briefly, we fully briefed this. There are a very limited number of circumstances where the financial information would come in. Simply asking this young man, who they asked about his relationship with Alec and Paul and everybody, could you conceive of, I think we said, are there any circumstance under which you know that he might kill Paul and Maggie, and he said no. That didn't open the door to any financial crime that he may have committed. And again, the admissibility of that financial information, those financial misdeeds, this motive, by the way, is the most ludicrous. He's about to be discovered as having stolen some money that afternoon. So he goes home and butchers his wife and son to destroy.
You argued that
before.
But what I'm saying is, this idea.
You've argued it before. You've called it ludicrous before. You're now repeating that same argument.
It's been a while, perhaps, that I've said that. Right. My point is, no door has been opened, and if we're going to have a full discussion on this, you indicated you needed factual basis. There has been no factual basis established. Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir.
Your Honor, again, and we have argued this, and I'm not going to repeat the various arguments that I've made. I think that we have, just to sort of summarize a little bit, we do have a specific confrontation that day. We also have the pendency of that hearing. And for the jury to understand that, we have to understand the extent of what is about to be exposed and what that actually means for him, the prospect of losing everything in life without parole. Will Loving.
Yeah,
he is one of the Paul's friends. He's mostly here to talk about firearms and the shell casings and things like that. But he also will talk about a little bit about the boat case, about the pressures on the family, about selling the house in Hampton. and the fact that you know that there were financial pressures because of that boat case that that they were having to deal with. And you know, I made it clear to the defense as well as to Your Honor that before we went into subject matter like that, that we would you know that we would of course certainly alert the court. For this particular witness, that would be the questioning that I intend to ask that witness.
Your Honor, may I address this witness? He's my witness. Any information he has about financial pressure or the reasons they sold the house would be solely based upon hearsay, and it certainly didn't come from any conversations with the defendant. He has no independent knowledge of any of that. So aside from the overall 404B evidentiary rule, I mean, there's no basis of this witness doesn't have any actual knowledge of that.
Yeah. We'll proceed with the testimony. I'll rule based on any objections I hear.
Thank you.
Bring the jury.
Present, sir.
Thank you. You may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state calls Will Loving.
Trial shall be the truth, so help you God.
Certainly, God.
Take a seat in the witness stand. State your name again for the record. Spell your last name.
Will Loving, L-O-V-I-N-G.
Loving, how you doing today?
I'm good.
All right. Tell the jury just a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to high school, college? What you do for a living?
I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. I went to high school at AC Floral. I graduated from Horry Georgetown Tech with a forestry degree. Pursued that for a few years. Now I'm working down in Charleston for a marine construction company. That's about what I'm doing now.
Okay. What year did you graduate from high school?
Graduated high school in 2015, and I graduated from Horry Georgetown in 2020.
Where are you living these days?
Just generally. I'm living in Charleston.
Did you ever, over the course of your life, get to know Paul Murdoch?
Yes, I did.
And tell me, when was that, roughly?
I met Paul when I was probably 15 years old, down at Edisto. He was probably 13. And, you know, our friendship just met on the beach one day. That's about where I met Paul, but we did pretty much everything together down at the beach whenever I was there and he was there. You know, we'd go hang out on the beach, we'd go on the boat, go fish, or, you know, just hang out.
And when you met him at Edisto, do you know where Paul was staying?
Yes, Paul was staying at his beach house at Edisto.
Okay. And over the years, as y'all's friendship developed, did y'all start to hang out more and more outside of Edisto?
Yes, sir, we did.
All right. And how old were you when that started to develop more hanging out than just Edisto?
You know, probably once Paul was later on in high school, so I would have been, you know, 18, 19 years old. We started getting closer, and then, you know, when I was probably 21 and Paul was 19, we got pretty close.
Okay. How old are you now?
I'm 26.
What are some of the things as y'all got pretty close, what would y'all do together aside from hang out at Edisto?
We would hunt and fish, go out, hang out with friends. We went down to the property at Moselle a lot. We'd go to Edisto a lot. Just kind of going wherever, going with the flow. We'd go down for a weekend in Charleston before either one of us, you know, before I was living there. But, you know, we lived together in Columbia for a short period of time, right before everything happened. But, yeah. That's about it.
Okay. Now, you said y'all lived together. So y'all were roommates there for a while before the murders happened?
Yes, sir.
And was it just the two of you in the house, or were others living there as well?
It was just the two of us, and I was kind of just a couch guest, but it kind of turned into a long-term thing.
Gotcha. Were y'all planning on getting an additional place around the time that the murders happened?
Yes, we had already been in contact with a house, about to sign a contract on a house, me, him, and another friend from Columbia.
Okay. You mentioned that you would go to Moselle a lot, and what would y'all do at Moselle?
I mean, we'd do just about anything, depending on what we were there for. If it was during a certain hunting season, we'd go hunting, or, you know, we might just be there hanging out for the weekend and might be there working. We did a lot of different things while we were there.
What kind of hunting would y'all do?
We deer hunted, we hog hunted, we duck hunted, we dove hunted, we turkey hunted, pretty much about everything.
Tell me about the hog hunting. How does that work?
We did it for a certain period of time with some dogs, and that was, you know, you got a pack of dogs that chase them down, and you go up and neutralize them. But then we did it. We also did it at night with a thermal scope. You know, it's based off heat vision. I mean, heat signals, so you could see them at night, and you had to use the thermal if you were going to do that.
Okay, and when y'all would hunt at night on the Moselle property, how would y'all physically do it? Would you walk around? Would you ride around on a four-wheel, or how would that work?
Most of the time we took a vehicle, whether it be one of the, you know, farm trucks or, you know, some sort of buggy.
Okay. You mentioned the thermal scope. What was that thermal scope on? What kind of weapon?
It was on a 300 blackout.
And what color was that 300 blackout?
It was black.
How many 300 blackouts did the family have?
They had two.
And were those the only two you're aware of, or was there a third one?
Those were the only two I was aware of. I'd heard something about the third after the fact, but the only two I was aware of was those two.
And when did you heard about the third?
I just heard it got stolen out of Paul's truck at a party.
And was that years ago?
Years ago, yes, sir.
So there was a replacement gun, a third one, is that correct?
Correct.
What was that gun like?
It was about the same as the black one, except for the color of it. It was tan. It didn't have any kind of sight on it, you know, the first few times I saw it. And but other than that, it was about the same thing, just a different color. It was a tanner color.
And where would that gun typically be located?
I never really saw it move from the gun cabinet room. Most of the time it was in the main house at Moselle in the gun cabinet room.
You mentioned that that particular gun didn't have a sight on it or an optic on it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. And what does that mean? What's the difference between having a scope or a sight and not having? How do you shoot it if it doesn't have one of those?
So you have this. You have something called iron sights, which is just it's already attached to the end of the barrel. It just has a little thing that you can see down, but nothing to zoom in your image. It didn't have a sight on it at all. You know, the other one had the thermal sight that you used at night, and this one had no sight on it at all.
At some point, did y'all go get some sort of optic or some sort of sight for it, other than the iron sights?
Yes, sir. We went and bought it's called a red dot sight. It's just got a little, it's not very big. It's about maybe 2 or 3 inches, and it just has a little tube, a little red dot in the center of it. It doesn't zoom in either, but it gives you a little bit better of a, you know, look at what you're shooting at, a little bit better than an iron sight.
Is it like a thermal sight in that you can see what you're aiming at night?
No, sir.
So what do you see when you look through the red dot?
You can just see whatever's out in front of you from the naked eye.
And then how does the thermal work?
The thermal works at nighttime. You can you look and see heat glows up in a different color than black. It glows up in white, so you can see it very easily.
When did you and Paul go by that red dot sight for that other blackout gun?
It was either in late March or early April. I'm not exactly positive on the date, but we bought it from the Ace Hardware in Hampton.
And when you say early March or late April, what year are we talking about?
2021.
You went with Paul to get that?
Yes, sir.
And what did y'all do after you got the sight?
We went back to Moselle and we put the sight onto the rifle and sighted it in.
Describe to the jury what you mean when you say you sighted it in.
When you get a scope that's not already sighted in, you have to calibrate it with the barrel of the gun. So you have to go and change certain things on the side or on the top, you know, whether it needs to go up or down or left or right when you're shooting. So that's what we had to do with that one, and it just moves. It doesn't move the dot necessarily inside the scope, it just moves kind of the whole thing. The whole site.
Before we get to that, I want to ask about the property just a little bit. And I'm going to show you what's been marked as Stakes 303. And I ask you to step down with the judge's permission. I want to ask you about a few areas on the property. All right, now, after y'all bought that, well, first of all, where is the residence on this particular image? Do you recognize this?
Yes, it's right here.
Okay. And, I'm sorry. Is that better?
It's down here at the bottom. Okay.
And what are these structures up here right there?
This is what we call a shed or the dog kennels or airplane hangar.
Okay. And can you point out the kennels in that image?
They're right here on the side up next to the pine trees.
And where are the driveway entrances to the property?
The two in this picture right here down to they come down to the main house right here, mm-hmm. where you can come in up here and come by the kennels and come down and then come down to the main house.
Was it common for everyone to use both of those driveways?
Yes, sir.
Which driveway did you usually use?
I didn't pass one driveway to get to another. Whichever way if I was coming from this way, I'd turn here. If I was coming from this way, I'd turn in there.
From your experience and knowing the family, was it common for both to be used?
Yes, sir.
What is this structure right here?
That is the cabin up on the side of the road, just the old cabin.
And was there like a shooting range or a shooting house anywhere?
Yeah, there's a shooting range across the road right here. Mm-hmm. It goes, it's like right in here somewhere, and it goes right next to the pond area. That's just a little fish pond.
And what was the shooting house?
It was just a little wooden, you know, gazebo-looking thing that you sat in and shot at a berm over here.
Was there a location that y'all know the property called the Dove Field?
Yes, sir.
And where was that?
It's right here behind this berm of pine trees.
Okay. Now, you said back after y'all bought that red dot sight that y'all sighted in that the blackout, is that correct?
Correct. Right.
And which blackout are you talking about?
The tan one.
The tan one?
The tan one.
Right. And that would have been not the black one, but the tan one, and not the one that went missing years ago, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right, and where did y'all sight that gun in?
We sighted it in off the side of the main house. Right here, there's a little thing of steps that comes into the gun room, mm-hmm. and we used the railing of the stairs to brace on and shot down into here as they were making a They were building a pond right here, so there was a berm, so there was no threat of the bullets going back there.
Yeah. All right, you can have a safe home for it, please. When did y'all sight that gun in?
We sighted that gun in at the very beginning of April or one of the last couple of days of March and of 2021.
Right. And how do you know that it was late March or into April 2021 that you sighted in that tan blackout with the red dot optic on it?
Because that same weekend we were out hunting hogs in the dove field with the thermal scope on the black 300 blackout, and we also took the brown 300, the tan 300 blackout, excuse me, with us with the red dot sight, but it wasn't very usable because you couldn't see what you were shooting at as it was dark. But we used the thermal, and I remember we saw four turkeys up in a tree, and we were talking about maybe turkey hunting that morning right there, but I think we scared them when we decided to shoot the hogs.
So y'all decided to sight in the Tamlin the next day or thereabouts?
Yeah, it was sighted in the day before, I believe, or the same day, one of the two.
And y'all were standing right outside the gun room in the main residence?
Correct, yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 88. You recognize this gun?
Yes, sir. That's the black 300 blackout.
All right. And what optic is on this?
The thermal scope.
All right. Is this the gun y'all were sighting in, or was it a different gun that y'all were sighting in standing right outside the gun room in March or April of 2021?
It was a different gun.
It was a different gun?
Yes, sir.
Did it have a different optic on it right here?
Yes, sir. It had the red dot sight on it.
It had the red dot. Show you what's been previously admitted into evidence as State's 175. Do you recognize that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, tell me what that is.
This is the stairs that lead up into the door that go into the gun room on the main house.
Okay. And was that where you were sighting in that tan blackout with the red dot optic?
Yes, sir.
That's not the one you just looked at?
Correct, yes, sir.
And what's through that door right there?
The gun room into the game room.
All right. And describe, you said y'all were using the railing to brace it. What do you mean by that?
We were using this right side of the right side if you're coming down the stairs railing, because we're both right-handed, and you can brace up against it to make sure you're steady when you shoot at the target.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's 176, and do you generally recognize that image?
Yes, the bottom of the brick below the stairs on the side door.
And was that where y'all, in the general location of where y'all were sighting in that third blackout with the red dot optic?
Yes, sir.
In March or April of 2021?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as 177 States. Do you recognize that?
Yes, sir.
And what area is that, please?
That is the flower bed right next to the stairs going up.
Okay. Is that in the same general area where y'all were sighting in that blackout with the red dot optic?
Yes, sir.
State's 179, do you recognize that?
Yeah, it's just the bottom of the bricks at the stairs again.
Okay. Same area where y'all were firing that?
Yes, sir.
State's 180, do you recognize that?
Yes, the flower bed next to the stairs.
Okay. Same general area where y'all were sighting in that other blackout?
Yes, sir.
That's not the one I showed you?
No, sir.
It's not the one I showed you?
Oh,
correct?
Yeah. No, sir.
State's 181, do you recognize that?
Sorry. Yes, sir. It's the bricks at the bottom of the stairs. Same area.
Same area?
Yes, sir.
State's 183.
Yep, again, it's the bottom of the stairs, same area that we were standing in.
Okay. All right, I'm going to show you now what's been marked as State's 184. Do you recognize that?
Yes, this is the little gazebo type thing at the shooting range that you sit in to shoot your rifle or whatever you're shooting.
After that time in March or April of 2021, which you remember because it was turkey season, correct?
Correct.
When was the next time that you saw that tan blackout that had the red dot?
I do not recall seeing it again after we used it that night.
The black blackout, was that gun frequently with Paul?
Yes, sir. If he was at Moselle, a lot of the times we had it with us, yes, sir.
All right. And where would you have it?
In the back seat of the truck most of the time. If we were, you know, riding around late or coming home from somewhere late just to, you know, check something, go look for a hog or something.
Did Paul have a shotgun that he favored?
Yeah, he had his Super Black Eagle 3 Benelli shotgun.
And can you describe it any further? What did it look like? How was it colored?
It was camouflage and sort of like a cryptic, like bluish purple camouflage. Not real sure of the name of it, but it was more of a distinctive color camouflage.
Yeah. I'm going to show you what's been admitted into evidence as States 89. You recognize that?
I recognize it, yes.
Okay, which gun is that?
I'm not sure whose gun that is, but it was used for turkey hunting.
Okay. You recognize that as one of the guns that was in the gun room at Moselle?
Yes, sir.
Show you what's been marked as States 4 into evidence. Let's see if you recognize this.
Yes, sir. It's the camouflage Benelli.
All right. And which one is that?
Paul's shotgun.
Okay. And how can you tell the difference between the two camo ones? How do you know this one's Paul's?
It just has a distinctive camo pattern on it. They did have two of these shotguns that were the exact same.
Right. But this is the one you recognize as Paul's, correct?
Yes, sir.
The 300 blackout round, is it a fairly loud round when it goes off?
I mean, yes. I mean, it's a gunshot, so it's pretty loud. But it's not extremely louder than any other gun.
Is it louder than a shotgun?
It's probably a little bit louder than a shotgun, yes.
Did you ever have any conversation with Paul about getting a suppressor for that 300 blackout?
Yeah, I asked him why he didn't get one, and he said that, you know, when you put a suppressor on a gun like that, it decreases your how far you can shoot and makes your accuracy go down. See, just the gun that we already had with the night vision was already not a very long distance gun, so he didn't want to put a suppressor on it.
Kennels up at the shed area, was it common for firearms to be up there?
You know, they were up there from time to time, but I don't think there were really any kept up there, no, sir.
On June 7th, 2021, did you ever have any conversation with Paul or communication with him?
Yes, I talked to him around dinner time. I was cooking dinner in the apartment that we were staying in, and he called me about wanting to get a hot tub for the house that we were about to move into. And then he sent me a Snapchat a little bit after that, and that was the last time I heard from him.
What was the Snapchat of?
It was of him and his dad looking at the trees and stuff that they had planted. They had one swooped down that obviously wasn't doing too good. But it was just a video of them looking at trees.
And you watched that video on your phone or something like that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Over the years, as you got to know Paul, did you also get to know his family as well?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you get to know Miss Maggie?
Yes, sir, I did.
To your knowledge, did Miss Maggie like to go down to the kennels?
Yes, she did.
And how would she get down there? Do you know?
Sometimes she would use her bike or her car or walk. She liked to walk their two labs around a lot around the property. So it was not uncommon for her to go down there.
And what would she like to do when she went down there?
She would go down and look at the dogs and mess with the dogs. A lot of times she liked to ride her bike, right before it got dark, on a sunset or something. But she was a dog lover for sure.
Would she go in the daytime or would she go at night when it was dark?
I only saw her go during the daytime most of the time. I mean, she might be down there once it got dark, but I don't think she would go down there after dark.
Let me ask you a little bit about Paul. What was his cell phone usage like?
He used his cell phone a lot.
Is he one to respond to you pretty quickly, typically?
Yes, sir. He would respond pretty fast.
You know where he kept it when he had it on him, what pocket he kept it in?
No, I do not. I know he kept it in one of his front pockets. I would have remembered if he kept it in his back pockets, but I don't know which one it was.
Were you, how'd you find out about the murders?
I was called numerous times in the middle of the night. I finally woke up to one around midnight. I think it was 12:07 if I remember right. And it was a cousin of Paul's and she told me about everything. And I was in the apartment at the time and, nobody really knew what was going on. So I got out of the apartment pretty quick. Drove to my parents' house, talked with them for a minute, and we had some friends that were all awake in Charleston, so I drove straight down to Charleston in the middle of the night.
Did you ever go to Moselle in the aftermath of everything?
Yes, sir. I believe I went on that previous Wednesday and saw the family.
Did you ever have a conversation with Alec?
I did.
Did you talk to him about any conversations that you had with Paul that night?
No, I didn't. We mostly just grieved.
Did you ask him about what he was doing that night or what happened or the events of that night at all?
No, I did not.
Were you aware of what's called the boat wreck or the boat case?
Yes, sir.
And were you aware that Paul had been charged in that boat case?
Yes, sir, I was.
Were you aware that Alec Murdoch had been sued in that boat case?
Yes, sir, I was.
Whenever Paul, did you ever talk to Paul about the boat case?
Not much. I didn't want to bring up something like that.
You mentioned that the family had an Edisto Beach house, is that right?
That's correct.
Had the Moselle property?
That's correct.
Did they have another property at one point in time?
Yes, they did. They had their house in Hamden.
Did they ultimately sell that property?
Yes, they did.
What was your understanding as to why they sold that property?
You're saying.
Can I answer if you know?
It was just through the grapevine to help pay for some of the lawsuits that they were under.
The objection is sustained.
You say through the grapevine. Did you ever have a conversation or were privy to a conversation with Alec about that?
No, sir.
When you did you have a conversation or were you privy to a conversation with Paul about that?
We talked about the house being sold, but I don't believe he ever told me that that's what it was for.
Going back to the 300 blackout, what was the sort of effective range of that weapon?
From what I was told from Paul, it was around 50 to 75 yards. It was accurate up to.
Did that have anything to do with the discussion about why not to put a suppressor on it?
Yes, it did.
When y'all were shooting that tan blackout 300 blackout rifle with the red dot optic on the side of the house at Moselle in March or April of 2021, who was doing most of the shooting of it?
Paul was.
Did Paul express to you any dissatisfaction with that tan one in the optic?
No, he did not.
Did y'all discuss any frustration, though, with it being unusable for turkey shooting because of the optic that was on it?
For hog hunting?
For hog hunting, sorry.
No, not really. We kind of knew that when we took it with us that it was kind of pointless, but we just took it with us anyway.
The red dot was pointless?
Yes, sir.
For night shooting?
For night hunting, yes, sir.
You were present when they purchased the red dot, is that right?
Yes, sir, I was.
Purchased the red dot?
Yes, sir.
Who paid for the red dot?
It was put on a store credit that was his father's.
That was his father's?
Yes, sir.
Whenever Paul needed money, who would he get that from?
He would normally text his dad.
When you talked a little bit about Paul's habits, and you guys had an apartment in Columbia, right?
Yes, sir.
Did Paul like to go to Charleston a lot?
He did.
He liked to go to Moselle a lot?
He did.
Did he spend time in a lot of different places?
Yeah, he was all over.
He was all over?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Happened to be back in Moselle on June 7th, 2021, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. One last thing. Have you had the opportunity to view a video at the kennels in Moselle?
Yes, sir, I have.
And were you able to recognize any voices on that video?
Yes, sir, I was.
All right, Your Honor, this time I'm going to play State's Exhibit 297 for this witness.
Quick.
voices did you recognize on that video?
Paul Murdahl, Maggie Murdahl, and Alex Murdahl.
And how sure are you?
100%.
The person whose voice you recognize on there that you identified as Alex Murdahl, do you see him in the courtroom here today?
Yes, sir.
Can you point him out for the jury?
He's sitting right there.
Your Honor, please let the record reflect he's identified the defendant.
It does.
Mr. Loving, please answer any questions the defense may have.
Good afternoon, Will.
How you doing?
Good. It's a hard day, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
You mentioned about a Snapchat video that you received on sometime the evening of June the 7th. Do you remember what time that was?
I don't. It was later in the afternoon, somewhere around like 7 o'clock-ish in that area.
And what was it of?
It was Alex and his son Paul. They were riding around looking at trees that they had built and, you know, laughing, having a good time.
Everything. So he posted it on, I don't have Snapchat. Maybe most people here have Snapchat, but tell us a little bit about what that is.
Snapchat's an app on a, you know, smartphone that you can send pictures and videos to your friends. You can save pictures and videos. But it's just an app that, you know, most young people use.
And it's a way to share videos?
Correct, yes, sir.
My kids have it, but are the videos supposed to disappear after some period of time?
Yeah, they have a limit on them. You can either send it for, it'll play over and over and over again until somebody clicks off of it, or you can go up to like from 1 to 10 seconds. But you can also save a Snapchat if you want to look at later.
And is it like Facebook? You have friends that want to, you know, be on your circle of Snapchat? Is that how
yes,
that
sir.
Works? And did Paul have a lot of Snapchat? They call friends on Snapchat?
Yes, sir, he did.
See, and would he frequently post things on Snapchat?
Yes, sir.
And would he frequently post things, you know, events like he did on the evening of June the 7th when he and his father were out, you know, messing around with the tree?
Yes, sir, he would.
And would he post stuff with his family events?
Yes, sir, he would.
Okay. And the Snapchat, that when he would post it, would it go to everybody who's in his, I guess, group?
Yeah, you have to send it to certain people. He wouldn't necessarily put stuff. They have what's called a story that everybody that you're friends with can see. He wouldn't necessarily always put stuff on a story, but he would send stuff to whoever he wanted to.
I think we're going to learn more about Snapchat. But let me ask you, when Paul would post on Snapchat, could people see where he was posting from? Did he have his location services activated?
I don't think he kept his location on. Sometimes they have filters and stuff that show you different areas where you are. But I don't think he kept his Snapchat location on.
Well, when he posted the video of he and his dad at Moselle, could you tell that he was at Moselle?
Yes, I could tell he was at Moselle just from being there. But, you know, maybe somebody who doesn't know the property wouldn't know.
Okay. All right. The you were asked. Questions about the last time. Well, you were with Paul and. Well. Getting ahead of myself, I'm sorry. So you and Paul were good friends. And Paul was friends with your friend group out of Columbia, is that right?
Yes, sir, that's right.
And then y'all would sort of migrate to Charleston, and some of the Columbia folks went to Charleston, and y'all would visit down there?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And I guess originally y'all met at Edisto with family homes and vacationing, and right?
Yeah, that's where everybody met until, you know, everybody went to college, and then everybody just kind of meets up.
Okay. And sometimes Paul would come to Columbia and stay with you?
Correct.
And you had another friend, Wills Chapman, that he would stay with Wills?
Correct.
Okay. And, I mean, Paul, like, left a 300 blackout at your house for some period of time, didn't he?
Yes, sir, he did.
How long did Paul leave a 300 blackout at your home?
Probably a month or so, at least.
Okay. And I think when Wills Chapman moved to Charleston, what did he find in his closet?
He found Paul's deer hunting rifle.
That Paul had left there?
Yes, sir.
And Paul had thought he had lost his deer hunting rifle?
Correct.
And lo and behold, it was at Wills Chapman's house, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, was that unusual for Paul to leave stuff everywhere?
No, not at all.
And so he was, would he leave guns around the farm?
Yeah, he would every now and again.
We'd leave them, say, in the golf cart?
Yes, sir.
And we leave them in unlocked trucks?
Yes, sir.
And you were asked about the kennels, but what about in the workshop, the shed? We leave guns down there?
That's where I was, you know, referring to. You know, you'd see them down there sometimes, but I don't think there was ever guns permanently down there, no, sir.
Okay. And when he left the 300 blackout in Columbia, was it the one that Mr. Waters showed you, this black one with thermal scope?
Yes, sir, it was.
Okay. And you learned at some point in time that he got a replacement for one he had previously lost?
Yes, I did. I didn't even know that it was a replacement. Like I said, I didn't know about the original one. I just remember seeing the brown one.
And that brown one did not have a scope, right?
No, sir, it didn't. Until we bought one.
And you went with Paul to Ace Hardware store and purchased a scope and a mount for it, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, the day that you purchased the scope and the mount, was it the weekend that you were talking about where last time you used it?
I'm not sure if it was that weekend or maybe the next weekend, but they were both pretty close together.
Okay, but you were there when he purchased the scope and the mount?
Correct.
And you went, did you go back to Moselle and put it on the gun?
Yes, sir, we did.
And did you use the gun that weekend or waited till the following weekend?
I'm not 100% sure if we used it that weekend or if it was the following weekend. I know we sighted it in that day that we bought the scope for it.
So that was the day when you were shooting off the railing beside the gun room?
Correct.
The day you bought the scope?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the and it's possible you hunted with it that weekend, but if not, it was the following weekend?
Yes, sir. No, sir, I haven't.
Okay. And would you be able to more accurately provide, know when it was? I think you said late March, early April. If you saw the receipt from the purchase?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What was marked as defendant's exhibit 62, and ask you first, do you recognize Paul's signature on that document?
Yes, sir, I do.
You know that to be his signature?
Yes, sir.
And does that reference the purchase of red dot scope and the mount?
Yes, it does.
And that's from Ace Hardware?
Yes, sir.
And were you there with Paul when he bought it?
I was.
Your Honor, we've introduced Exhibit 62 in evidence at this time.
No objection, Your Honor.
A different one than the one you just handed him that you
it's
said.
It's the same one.
It's already in evidence, isn't it? It's just defendant marked for identification, or is it in evidence already?
I'm moving in that evidence right now. Thank you. Will you tell the jury what the date of that is?
It is March the 6th,
okay,
2021.
And, Your Honor, I have a calendar here that says March 6th, 2021 is a
Saturday, and I would just like the court to take judicial notice that March 6, 2021 is a Saturday.
No objection.
So noted.
Thank you. So knowing that it was purchased on March 6, 2021, a Saturday, does that help you reflect, remember when you last used the gun?
Yeah. So that was a Saturday. So we would have sighted it in that Saturday. And I do remember using the gun. It was the first week of turkey season because we were going turkey hunting the next morning, which would have been either March 20th or March 22nd. I can't remember what it was 2 years ago with the opening day of the season. So it would have been 3 weeks after we sighted it in.
Okay. So you sighted it on March 6th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll take that back. When was the last time you saw Paul in person?
It would have been the weekend previous, or 2 weekends previous to when everything happened. It was Memorial weekend.
So you saw him Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, sir.
And where did you see him?
We all stayed at the Edisto Beach House.
And when you say we all, who are you referring to?
Me, myself, and three or four other buddies, along with Alex, Maggie, and I believe that was it.
And did you spend a lot of time with Paul around his dad and mom?
Yes, sir, I did.
And how would you describe Paul's relationship with his father?
It was an awesome relationship.
And what do you mean by awesome?
It just kind of seemed like Paul was the apple of his eye.
Okay. And from your observation, you can tell the jury what you observed of Alex's relationship with Maggie.
I thought they had an awesome relationship as well, from everything that I could see. You know, they were always laughing and everybody got along. You know, nothing was out of the ordinary at all.
Did Maggie and Alec opened their home up to Paul and Buster's friends?
Yes, they did.
How many people stayed at the Edisto Beach House that Memorial Day weekend?
I'm not 100% positive, but at least three or four friends.
Okay, and where'd y'all stay?
All in the bedrooms. I think somebody might have been on the couch on the porch outside. Maybe the couch inside as well.
Okay. And was Buster there?
I believe Buster was there, but I'm not 100% sure.
And did he have any of his friends there?
Yet again, I'm not sure.
Okay. You mentioned that when you got a phone call from Paul's cousin, I believe, after midnight on June 7th, so early morning, June the 8th, you learned what happened, and your immediate reaction was to hightail it out of there?
Yes, sir.
And were you fearful for your safety?
At first I wasn't, and then I was calling back other friends, and you know, people started telling me to get out of there, so then I started second-guessing myself, and yeah, then I got out of there.
And when you left, I mean, did you even lock it up when you left?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Okay. I'm going to show you what I've marked as Exhibit 61, and it's a disc. And before you testify today, did you have an opportunity to view that very short video clip on the disc?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did you, are those your initials on the disc?
Yes, sir, they are my initials.
And is it a short video of the Memorial Day weekend when you were down at Edisto with Paul and your friends and Maggie and Alec?
Yes, sir, it is.
And is it sort of a birthday celebration for Alec?
It was a birthday celebration for Alec.
Your Honor, I would like to introduce Exhibit 61 in evidence and play the video.
Yes, Your Honor.
Admit without objection.
Can you just play it without the sound?
Yeah, I sure can.
We're just going to play it without the sound, but you've seen the video?
Yes, sir.
Are people singing happy birthday to Alex?
Yes, sir, they are.
Okay. On the Wednesday after Paul and Maggie were murdered, you went to Moselle, correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
With some friends of yours?
Yes, sir.
I mean, the friends of Paul's?
Yes, sir.
How many?
I think three of us went.
And how many other people were there, friends of Paul's?
There was a lot of friends of Paul's there.
More than 10?
On Wednesday, I don't know. I don't think so. I think a lot of people were kind of trying to feel out the situation, so just like the closer friends went. But there was probably 10 or so of his friends there when I was there.
And what was Alex Murdoch's demeanor on the Wednesday?
He was grieving, crying a lot. I think we all were.
I think you. I think you described that he just couldn't talk. You remember that happening?
Yeah, it was pretty hard to talk when, you know, he came and grabbed me and two other guys and we just kind of had a big hug and it was pretty tough for him to make words.
Was he crying?
Yes, sir.
Were you crying?
Yes, sir.
Everybody in there crying?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Go back to your video for you, please. Can y'all turn that screen around for me, please? Still it at the very end, please. Of that video.
Thank you, baby.
Who's that guy in the green shirt? Do you know?
That's Chris Wilson.
You know Chris Wilson's relationship to Alec Wilson or Alec Murdoch?
Yeah, I think they're best friends.
Best friends. Best friends should do each other right, isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
You were asked about when you found out about the murders. And you talked to some people, and then you kind of hightailed it out of your place, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you were scared or at least thinking about the possibility of some sort of harm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Because it was a shock for everyone, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
It stopped everything in its tracks, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
And everybody was worried about this family and what was going on and what had happened. Is that right?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Anything else people were worried about went out the window. They were all focused on Alec at that moment, were they not, and themselves. Is that correct?
I mean, I think they were focused on everybody that had anything to do with it.
Anything that had anything to do with this family, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Shown the Snapchat video. You were also asked about another Snapchat video that you saw the day of the murders?
Yes, sir.
And what was on that video?
It was a video of Alex and his son riding around looking at trees that had fallen over on the tractor or on the golf cart.
Was it a short clip?
Yes, sir, it was.
I have State's Exhibit 306, which is a Snapchat video, I believe, in without objection.
No objection, Your Honor.
Submit it.
Thank you. Flip back over, I'm gonna play that tree video.
Okay.
About what time do you recall receiving this video, to the best of your recollection?
It was later in the afternoon. I believe it was after I cooked dinner, probably around 7 o'clock, sometime in there.
Yes, it is.
That was on the afternoon or the evening of June 7th, 2021?
That's correct.
Clothes that he was wearing, at least in that video you saw on the evening of June 7th, 2021?
Those are the clothes I saw on the video.
Long pants and a shirt?
Yep. Yes, sir.
And those particular shoes?
Yes, sir.
You watched that video in real time when it came in from Paul's phone that evening, is that correct?
That is correct.
You were asked about the relationship that you observed between Alec and Paul and Alec and Maggie, is that correct?
That is correct.
To your eye, it was a very good relationship. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It was a good relationship, in my point of view.
Did you know anything about Alec's finances?
No, I did not.
Did you know anything about his law practice?
No, I did not.
Did you know anything about where he gets his money?
No, I did not.
Did you know anything about where he was spending his money?
No, I did not.
Did you know anything about what his bank account balances were?
No, sir, I did not.
Did you know anything about the debt that he was carrying? Do you know anything about that?
No, sir.
Did you know the specific things that were going on in the boat case the week that Paul and Maggie were murdered?
No, sir.
Do you know anything about civil discovery and how it can expose financial information?
No, sir.
Do you know anything at all about him being confronted on June 7th, 2021 about...
Object.
Did you know anything about him being confronted on the morning of June 7th, 2021 about $792,000 of missing fees from his law firm?
Objection, Your Honor. It's totally improper.
Objection is overruled.
Did you know anything about that?
No, I did not.
You know any of the facts of those things that I just asked you about?
No, sir.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Step down. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. We'll see you at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Please do not discuss the case. This day, tomorrow morning, however, I will address the Rule 404 issue, particularly 404B that provides that evidence of other wrongs.
And that wraps up our sixth segment and the final piece of coverage for today, the 1st of February of 2023. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any discussions and continuing coverage on this case as it happens. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. My name is Tony Bruschi. For all of us here at True Crime Today, thanks for listening.